Welcome to Make and Decorate, a podcast for makers who love to sew, quilt, knit, and decorate. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Stephanie, your host. Happy March. I hope you're all well and looking forward to spring, which is almost upon us. We've been having some really warm weather lately. It's a little strange. Last week we were in the mid-70s and it was still February and it was just very weird. That's all I have to say is very weird. And of course, you know, on that specific day, the cold front came in and created these, you know, boisterous thunderstorms, and then the temperature dropped back down to winter temps. So it's just that time of year where the seasons sort of collide. And I do have a feeling, because usually winter wins, but I think this time spring is going to win. I think we're going to have an early spring. So let's hope that that's what is in store. I've got a great guest for you today, a returning guest and good friend of the podcast. Krista Watson is back to talk about, as always, machine quilting, quilt piecing, and some of her newest products with Aero Furniture, the latest about her fabric lines with Ben Artex, and in fact, new and exciting news about her collection Dazzle Dots and her quilting notions. The music after the guest segment is about 3 minutes long, so you can skip ahead if you prefer. And then that will be followed by the chit-chat segment. So let's get going. I have a returning guest on the show today, Krista Watson from Krista Quilts. Krista is a designer of quilt patterns, fabrics for Ben Artex, author of many quilting books, of which I own, I believe, all of them now, educator on machine quilting, and has a line of quilting notions and furniture with Aero. And there's probably a lot more. So we're going to talk about all that. And wow, welcome back, Krista.
Oh, my goodness. It's just always so fun to talk to you, Stephanie. I know I talk to you. I tell you this every time now that we're like besties now. But like your podcast is so fun to listen while I sew. So like I do a lot of sewing and I do a lot of like online work and all that, but I go through these spurts. So a lot of times I like won't sew for weeks and weeks and then I'll sew like nonstop for a while. And so it's so fun to like catch up on all your episodes when I'm just like sewing for hours on end. It feels like we're hanging out together and,
yay.
And but the best part is like I can listen and I don't have to talk back.
That's wonderful. Yeah. You know, it just, you feel like you're in on it, but you know, you're still doing your thing and be able to focus on it. So I hear that a lot. A lot of people do love to listen while they're sewing and quilting or whatever.
Yeah, it is. It's nice. Mm-hmm. I've tried different things when I work and like when I'm doing computer work, it has to be very, very quiet. Usually when I'm exercising, it needs to be music. When I'm sewing, it needs to be podcasts or audiobooks. So it's just funny how like I'm listening to stuff all the time, but it has to be like different things. So anyway,
me too.
Yes. So
yeah, keep me up. Too. I'm the same. I have to listen to different things. And in fact, even when I listen to music, like you said, computers, I listen to focus like classical music because it really just, because I grew up that way. I grew up with, you know, taking classical piano lessons and that music is just very soothing, familiar, and it does allow my brain to focus. Like my brain doesn't wander when that's on in the background. So I love it. So this time, wow, it's been a while since we last chatted, and since then you have been busier than ever, and we're not going to go into your quilt story in detail because we already did that. We've been there, done that in earlier episodes, and I'll link to those episodes in the show notes for people who maybe have not heard those yet. But you have been a quilter for a long time, and if you would just do like a little summarized nutshell timeline from, you know, quilter onward through today. And then we're going to visit your newest endeavors that you've launched in the past couple of years.
Yeah. So I made my very first quilt in 1994. Oh my goodness. And the reason I remember that is because I have a label on that quilt. And so I always know, oh, I can go back to my first quilt and see when that was. And so soon after I started my business, I began teaching locally. I had a few kids. As the kids got older, I was able to travel and teach. And basically I just tried all the things. Like I, you know, sold supplies online. I did a little stint where I sold quilts. I even tried quilting for other people, decided that wasn't really my thing. And then really the last, I'd say 10 years or so, I've really settled into the design aspects, you know, the writing the books, the designing the fabric, the designing the quilt patterns. And I realized my two favorite things is I like to design things for people to make. And then I like to teach people how to make them because if I make it one time, it's super fun, but I want to see it made 10 different ways. And I don't have time to make the same quilt 10 different ways. So if I put a pattern out, if I teach a class, if I make a video, then I get to share it with the world. And then all these people that make my designs, they'll send me pictures, they'll share in my Facebook group, and I'll get to see 50 to 100 different variations. And that brings me so much joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know that you had made quilts for other people because I'm sort of have been in a little bit of that phase that I definitely don't want to continue doing.
Well, and, go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt you.
No. It's just, it's funny because, you know, as you're going through this whole journey of making things and quilts and stuff like that, you really realize, okay, I've been there, I did this, and I don't like it anymore. So, and I'm a designer of interiors, and I do love design. So I'm sort of like, I think that's why I'm so in tune with you, because I love the design aspect. I love the fabrics, you know, designs, and seeing what people design on those. And that's just what I wanted to.
Well, I love to hear when you're talking about that, like the custom things you're making, because that was like back in the day, probably late 90s, early 2000s, when I was literally figuring out, throw it on the wall, see what sticks, try everything just to separate what you like and what you don't. And what I realized in making custom quilts for people, well, number one, you definitely, you know, you have to charge a lot for it and you have to find a clientele who's willing to pay. And you know that because of the design industry. Yeah. But the problem, there were two problems. Number one is that people would bring me fabrics to work with that were like home decor fabrics and things like that, that were like better suited for curtains or couches. And they'd want me to make stuff. And it was, so the materials were harder to work with, but they're like, I want a bedspread to match my curtains, or I want to, you know, not a bedspread, a quilt. They would actually use the word quilt, you know? And so I was limited on materials. And then the other thing that didn't resonate with me is I kind of needed to make something to their specifications. Now I made interesting things. I remember the most interesting quilt I ever made was for this lady whose son was like a cowboy and he participated in rodeos. And I literally made this really cool, like applique of him on a horse, you know, and it was a really cool design. Sadly, I don't have pictures of it anymore. And it was fun to do, but I didn't like being stifled. I didn't like them saying, I want a blue and yellow quilt with a, you know, cowboy on it. I realized I want to make quilts that come to me, that inspire me, and then see if people want them. Rather than them coming to me saying, I want something specific, I want to create art. I want to create interesting ideas and then push them out rather than pull them in. But I wouldn't have known that unless I spent a couple years actually trying that out and giving it a try.
Very true. Yes. Same here. You're still a Bernina ambassador, right?
I sure am.
We'll get to how that relates to one of your newest endeavors. Kind of there's a little relationship to that with the furniture.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you're a book author. So what is your latest book out? I think it's go ahead. I don't know.
Yeah. So I've written 5 books, and you know me, you talk to me, you ask me like a question and I give you like the long answer. But, so I wrote 5 books. 4 of them were with Martingale, who sadly went out of business, maybe about a year or two ago. And, so right before they went out of business, I had no idea they were going out of business. I had just decided, you know what? I want to try writing a book with C&T Publishing. And so I wrote my latest book with them. And even though it was so sad the other company went out of business, I'm kind of glad I jumped ship because my other books are no longer in print, whereas my current book is in print because the company's still around. But, you know, that's a whole nother thing about the industry and industry changing. My latest book is called How Do I Quilt It? And I kind of call it, you know, my book. It took me me 5 books to get to that point to realize, oh, this is the book everybody needs. It goes through step by step, not only how to quilt on a domestic machine, which is kind of my expertise, but how you think about the whole process, how you prepare your quilt, how you baste your quilt, how you make a quilting plan, how you can take the same idea and try different ways, going back to that idea of, hey, let's see what the quilt looks like 3 different ways. And so it really just explores different avenues. And of course, the main reason I wrote the book is because I travel and teach extensively and I need a manual because people are, you know, they take notes, they take pictures during class, that's all good. But I like to have a manual for my students to follow so that when they get home after class, they can look through the book, they can say, oh, that's right. I remember when Krista taught me this. Okay, now I have something to refer to. So they have it right there at their fingertips. But the one thing you can tell that I talk quickly, so I always tell my students in class, after you take a class for me or a lecture, you have to read the book super fast to match how I talk.
Oh, that cracks me up. But that is very, like, smart. I think that it's brilliant because I've taken a lot of courses in the past, not just quilting, but just like sewing and stuff like that. And the ones that had given actual handouts and like, whether it be like outlines or something, or even visuals, I will go back to them still today. They're very helpful. But the other classes where you're making this one project and that's what you're doing. And, you know, it's great. It's fun. The socialization is great and you love what you make. But then when it's been like a year, you're just like, how did I do that?
You forget. And so having, you know, because what they say, you know, of course, there's the whole thing where you've got like visual learners and auditory learners and all that. Mm-hmm. And when you're teaching a room full of students, you've got to present the material in different ways because people are going to learn and you need to restate the material. So by having a live class, by having videos that they can refer to, by having the book, you know, videos are great, but having a book that you can see, flip through the pages, look at the pictures, read the words, bookmark it, all that kind of stuff, a physical book that you can actually touch with your hands is super, super helpful, like you said, for folks that want to go back. And because I'm teaching more technique, like I offer patterns and things, but mostly what I'm teaching is a technique. The cool thing about it is you can apply that technique to any quilt you're making. Even you don't even have to make the quilt I'm showing you. You can make a different quilt, but apply the quilting techniques. And again, it all goes back to that what if. You know, what if you quilt a straight line? What if you quilt a wavy line? How is that going to affect the look of your quilt? And I love that exploration.
Yeah, that's great. So C&T, right?
Yes, C&T Publishing.
I met them actually at H&H last year and really a great group of people. So it was exciting for me to meet them.
I have to give a shout out. And again, I love talking quilting. I love talking the industry, you know, so it was sad that the one publisher went out of business. I think the one thing that C&T has been super smart about, they know that publishing is changing. They know that people aren't buying the physical books as much, even though that's what I love. So they've gotten really, really smart and they're really embracing videos. So they have this whole, you know, they're not paying me or anything. There's no affiliation. This is just out of the,
me neither.
You know, the love of my heart, the love of my heart. But they have this thing called Creative Spark, where not only do they have online classes, they actually have events. And I've been a part of a couple of their events where you can watch live, you can watch recordings later. And it's anything from an hour long lecture to like a full 4 to 6 day event where they have different teachers coming in and present. And I think by them having the video along with the books they sell, I think that's helped them be able to navigate the changing publishing landscape. So any company that's doing that, good for you.
So true. Yeah. And I have been noticing that happening. It's just, it's interesting because it's just softly been ebbing and flowing with our industry like that. And in the last year, that is what I have seen come out a lot with people like, for instance, Cashmerette, same thing. They have videos that goes with their book. So that's amazing. I mean, I think people do love that because I don't know. I'm talking about myself, but most people are visual learners.
Well, and it's nice to have both. You know, it's nice to have the physical or, you know, the Kindle version, the online version, but it's nice to have the video to go with it. And I think the people that are kind of heading that direction are really going to capture and keep their audience.
Yeah. Right, right. Absolutely. I'm kind of a mixture, though, because I do love your book. It's my favorite.
Oh, thank you. I'll give you your kickback later.
Is the 99 quilting designs, I think it was. And I just love the format of this book. It's like the best reference book. I love the size of it. But the format that you did it in with the photographs of the actual quilting, you know, design, and this is a machine quilting book I'm referencing. And you had all these different designs in a specific design on each, you know, section. And it was organized. And for someone who thinks they're not, what do you call it? The learner that can read and learn.
Oh, yes. Like auditory, visual, stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You could certainly learn from this book.
Well, I'll give you
Thinking that you're only a visual learner.
Yeah, yeah, behind the scenes, because I like to share. I like to share more than just what the product is. I like to share behind the scenes of how stuff came to be. So originally, my idea for both 99 Machine Quilting Designs, which is a reference of just designs, no pattern projects, and then the new book, How Do I Quilt It? In my head, those were originally one book where you basically, I went through the steps of how to make the quilt, and then I showed you additional designs. However, as I started putting that idea together, I realized this is way too much information. So I was like, okay, I want this to be two books, but I wasn't sure which one to do first. Mm-hmm. So again, the idea, you've got the theory, which is how do I quilt it? You've got the practical, here's the designs to do. And when I actually approached Martingale on my fourth book, I gave them the ideas of both. And I said, which one do you think I should do first? And they're the ones that said, oh, you should do the 99 designs. The fortunate thing about when they went out of business, I was able to purchase all backstock copies. So I still do have a few hundred copies of that book. And then I also purchased the rights when they went out of business.
Oh,
so I've been able to publish it as a PDF. So people can get access to all of my books as PDFs anytime, you know, so that's not an issue. But anyway, and so I came out with the 99 designs first, and that came out right during the pandemic, but it sold really well after they went out of business, or actually before they went out of business, when I had the idea, okay, I want to go ahead and write this second book. They weren't as interested in it when I gave them the idea. First, it was a one book idea, then it was a two book idea. They weren't honestly as interested. And again, more behind the scenes, in my contract, I didn't have anything that said, oh, you have to do all your books with one publisher. The kind of the, you know, the etiquette is that you don't publish two books at the same time with different people, but you give somebody kind of the writer first refusal. You give them first dibs. So I kind of gave them first dibs at that idea. They weren't really interested in it. And so then I decided to go with C&T, publish it. And like I said, they went out of business. So kind of looking back, it worked out really great. I had this really bestseller with Martingale that now I own. I was able to continue the idea of how I wanted it. So really my recommendation, when people take my class, they don't have to buy both books, because that's kind of a lot, but I always bring both books, and I recommend getting both books because even though they're with different publishers, I'm the author of both, and they work well, really well together.
I could see that. Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I could kind of envision why, you know, the second book, because I think publishers kind of, they have just in their mind, like what's going to sell, what's going to attract. And, you know, there's many of how to quilt some, like, you know, from supplies, blah, blah, blah. But you present it differently. And a lot of people follow you and like your teaching style, including me.
Oh, thank
you. I've even purchased your Craftsy classes way back in the past. So, I mean, I've followed you for a long time.
Well, and now we're buddies. See, that's what happens. Yes. There's no such thing as stalkers and quilting. We're just all good friends, right?
We are. We love the same thing. So
exactly.
I love it. Okay. So moving on to fabric design. And you've had a lot of fabric collections out, and you did talk about your process in the last episode, I think. So we won't go into that part of it, but just talk about, you know, the collections that are out now and what's coming up, because in the Patreon episode, we're going to go into more detail on a new way that you design fabrics with Illustrator. But
oh, cool. Let's talk about what's going on. Let's see, I have to go back and count. I'm either on my 8th or 9th. This is kind of where I lose track. It's like when I turned like, I think 42, that was the year that I forgot how old I was, you know, a couple of years ago. But yeah, so I'm either on my 8th or 9th collection and it just came out. It's called Dazzle Dots. And all of my fabrics are very bright, geometrics. I haven't done any florals so far. Bright, modern, fun. And I wanted a collection that kind of read more as a basic and something that could just go with everything that's not a solid. So I came out with these Dazzle Dots that are 22 rainbow colors, and they have taken off by wildfire. So I always say it takes me a long time to get where I need to go. It took me 5 books to get, you know, my last 2 books being really, really good sellers. It's taken me till this collection, whether it's 8 or 9, this one is sold like crazy. And in fact, a secret breaking news that you get here first, Dazzle Dots is out. It'll be out for a while. It'll be out as long as people buy it. That's the nice thing about Benertex, who I design for. They actually, if something sells, they will keep printing and printing and printing. So it just came out.
I love that.
It's awesome. It came out a month ago and it's already on its second printing. And because it's been so popular, I'm actually going right now as we speak, I'm working on a follow-up collection that's going to be more colors. And in fact, I haven't even named it yet. It's either going to be like more dots or more dazzle dots or dazzle dots too. So Dazzle Dots is out now. By the time this podcast airs, it'll still be out. And then the newer dots will probably come out in the fall. So you guys can look out for that. But it was really fun. I mean, you know, I do this as my job, but you know, we're quilters. We want that little pat on the back. So it was really nice when the collection came out and it resonated with shops and everybody wanted it. Cause I was like, finally, after 8 or 9 collections, I have a hit. Like everybody wants this in their stash. And I talked with the president. And he's a very good, like, I'm a businesswoman, he's business, you know, we want it to be fun. But I told him, I said, if this collection does well, we can do more, we can do whatever. And then they're the ones that came to me and they said, okay, let's just do more dots. Let's do more of the same. Let's do more colors. And I'm actually working on another collection that'll come after that, but I was okay to push it aside. I was like, okay, well, let me put this one aside. Let's go ahead and kind of add more dots as long as it's popular. And I didn't realize how popular of a design motif dots were. Like I love them, but I didn't realize dots. That they were such a big deal.
I love dots, and there are a lot of dot collections out there, but I'll tell you what resonated with me with your dots. And just another side note to that first, I'm like a squirrel here, but I spent so much time on your website trying to figure out, because I wanted some yardage of it.
That's awesome.
I could not decide on colors. So then I was like, you know what? Let me just get that charm pack of all of your colors.
Well, that's like a good swatch, because then you can see, and now you can always swatches. Go back. You know, okay, but Stephanie, you know, talk to me. I'll hook you up. You talk to me after the podcast. Okay. I'll hook you up. It's all good.
That is awesome. And then the other thing about your dots pattern is just the tonal colorings of them and just the way that they're the movement of them. It's not like there's a pattern of dots and rows or anything. And I think the size of them is not too small and not too big. So it could be used backgrounds, foregrounds, beckies, you know what I mean? Bindings. So it's very versatile.
You would laugh. Okay. For anybody that hasn't seen it, it's a very simple pattern. There's actually 2 patterns in the collection. One is like a tiny square polka dot. And then another one is just slightly bigger that's a round dot that has more color. You would not believe, I work with Benertex, and again, we kind of went in detail the last podcast how my design process works. But we went back and forth and round and over to get the dots the right size.
Wow. I mean,
it was so funny because I just was like, okay, no, that's not quite right. Okay, wait, no, they need to be. And I mean, printing things off my printer and measure. I mean, you would just laugh to see, like, it's one of those things that somebody's like, oh, I could do that in 5 minutes. And it's like, well, yeah, it might take you 5 minutes, but it's going to take you, you know, days and hours and weeks to get the scale right so that it looks right in your pattern, because you don't, number one, you don't want the dot dots to like mush together and not see the separation of the color. Right. You don't want them to be too big. You want to be able to tell that it's a dot. Anyway, mm-hmm. it's just the attention to detail. A lot of times I spend a lot of time attention to detail on something that looks simple. So here's a design thing that you may or may not agree with. The more simple something is, it's real means the harder it was to achieve the simple look. The more complex something is, that's easier because you just keep throwing complexity on top of it. But simple is actually much harder to achieve than complex.
Yes, because there's nothing hidden. It's all right. Exposed to be seen in all its glory. But so I'm excited about those. Oh, that's great. Very good. Congratulations on the success of that.
Oh, it's been fun. It's been fun to work with.
And I'm really excited because you've heard me talk a lot of times about how I cannot stand fabric collections coming and going in a split second and no more printings of them. So that's going to be a good basic as well. So I think those are going to be around for a while. For sure. Okay. Anything else with fabrics or that's good for now?
I'm just having a ball with it. It's been a dream come true.
I just want to mention one other quick thing. I also ordered a couple of yards. You had a sale going on and you have this grid fabric, and I've really started to get involved into sashiko hand stitching recently. Oh. And I saw that grid and I'm like, oh my gosh, I won't have to draw a grid on the fabric. And then I can just like do my sashiko designs on those grids.
I am so glad you said that. I would never have thought that. What a brilliant idea, Stephanie.
Well, thank you. And thank you for designing that grid for me.
Anytime.
I love it.
Just so anyway, let me know what you need next and I'll work it in. I'll be like, right? This is for Stephanie, you know?
Yes. Yes. And then maybe like a good diagonal stripe or something next.
There you go.
You have some already though. You do. I just realized.
I do. It's funny. Mm-hmm. Again, we can get more into this in the later part. But yeah. Stripes are actually hard. They're actually hard to design. Yes.
Yeah, I would believe that for sure. Okay. So Notions with Brewer Sewing. This is fairly newer with you. It's been out for a little while now.
A year or two, 1 or 2 years. I don't know what year we're in. You know, I just think like, oh, that happened last year. You know, anybody after post-pandemic, you say, oh, I did that a year ago. And then you look back and you're like, no, that was 3 years ago, honey.
Isn't that crazy?
You missed 2 years in there.
I know.
1 year, 2 years, you know, somewhere around there.
but it's really nice. And my favorite thing are the batting shears, and it's on my wish list. But these are Notions with Brewer Sewing, right?
Yes. So for anybody that doesn't know, Bernina, the sewing machine company, they actually own Benertex and they own Brewer. They didn't start off owning them, but just over the years, as they've grown, they've acquired these different companies.
Very good. So, and they're sold in quilt shops all over the place. And on your website, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yes, for sure. Those quilt batting shears they look so cool. I haven't tried them yet, but I will be trying them. They've got like this deeper kind of what do you call it?
Yeah, it's a deeper cut, and the blades are long. They're like 11 inches long.
Yeah,
and they have like a little nubby on the end, so you're not gonna like snag the batting as you cut. And I mean, they can cut through fabric, but they're made to cut through batting. Because I was realizing, you know, because I baste my own quilts and I quilt my own quilts, and I'm always trimming up batting and I'm cutting batting off the roll. Number one, it's a big pain to use regular scissors to cut because it takes forever to go across the roll of batting. And number two, it's hard to take a roll of batting and put your rotary cutting mat underneath it and cut through it. And so by having these batting scissors, you know, I didn't invent them. They've been out there in the market, but not very many people know about them.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, so there are other brands of them, but mine are the best because, number one, they're cute. They're a cute color. No, they're a cute teal color.
Very cute teal,
And they have my little Krista Quilts logo, which if anybody didn't know, we have done this special process where we've infused the logo with special magical pixie dust. So when you see my logo on anything, your quilting is going to be perfect because it has this special magic. So nobody else has that. But anyway, so these scissors, they just cut through batting like butter because they give you enough grip on it. They open wide, and like you know, I will bring them with me when I go to shows and when I teach. And when they're in the package, people are like, oh, whatever, a pair of scissors. But right. then I open up the package, I put a piece of batting, and I say, no, you come over and you cut. And people take like one cut, and then they pick up the scissors and they buy them. Because they've never, if you've never tried them before, it's literally like magic. It's like you're like, oh, I want to cut all the things with these scissors, because it feels like you're just cutting through air. It's amazing.
Oh yeah, that's very cool. I'm a big proponent of shears of anything. Last year I invested in a really good pair of fabric cutting shears for mostly for clothing sewing, but they also work well for like upholstery type of fabrics too. And you know, I got on this kick of just like everything has to be rotary cut, but then it started to hurt my shoulder and forearm and elbow and stuff like that. So and then I started to see, you know, YouTube,
the
wonder of all wonders.
Yep.
And I would watch these tailors making suits from scratch, and they would use these ginormous shears and And so that's where I got the idea. And then I got some, and they're wonderful.
Well, yeah, because you're just, you know, if you can, I mean, without getting all technical, you know, you are going to be, you know, using the hand movement of your hands. But if that one movement can cut through 10 inches versus 3 inches,
right.
you're going to get the job done a lot quicker. And it's, and if it can, if it's made right and it's balanced right and it's heavy duty enough, it can be comfortable scissors, but you can also get a lot done with them. And my batting scissors, the nice thing is they're left or right-handed, which is really cool.
Oh, nice. Very good. Okay. And you have gloves too, which are very cool too. I mean, you have everything you need to do your quilting. The machine quilting.
Yeah, because I just am like, what do I need? I am actually a minimalist, so I only have a few tools and supplies. Like, I don't really get into like a ton of different rotary cutters. With my machine quilting, I don't do all the rulers. I'm very minimal when it comes to supplies, but the supplies that I need, I grab them, I use them over and over. And what the machine quilting gloves do is they have little knobs on the end of them. They kind of have like a little rough patch on the fingers with little, little plastic nubbies, I guess you could call it. No, more like nylon. Anyway, and so they allow you to grip the quilt as you're pushing it through the machine. And that allows you, again, less friction on your body, less wear and tear. Let the tool help do the work. And so you're not putting as much wear and tear on your body.
Oh, good point. Yeah, because it can. It really can with the machine quilting, for sure. Any new items coming out, or that's what you got?
That's right now. It's right now. Just like everything. So I came out with five notions, and there's three more that do other things. But the, you know, just like Fabric Collection Dazzle Dots has been like the top seller, and the books, you know, the scissors and the gloves have really, really done well. And so
same thing.
They're going to keep producing them as long as people keep buying them. And
wonderful.
I have other ideas for more notions that I want to do, but with all the stuff that I've been doing over the last couple of years, I need to kind of slow down a little bit and catch up and breathe.
Anything else, Krista? What's coming next, Krista? It's not like you've been doing enough as it is.
Well,
or
if I didn't
more
have to,
than enough.
If I didn't have to eat or sleep, I would get so much more done. But yeah. So we're just going to kind of focus on those for now. And then I'm going to catch up on other things.
It's a lot. Let me tell you, you definitely, I mean, is you're just amazing. So, and then that brings us to the next endeavor, which came out also in the last couple of years with your collaboration with Aero Furniture.
That has been the best.
I love it. Okay. I've talked about it in the past, but you just take off and go with this.
This was something that was literally 20 something years in the making. So let me just kind of paint a picture for you guys. Back in the day when I first started quilting, I realized right away, like, okay, to make machine quilting on a domestic machine comfortable, you've got to have a lot of workspace. And side note, I have tried long arm quilting, not for me. People that are long arm quilting, people that can do both, bless you, more power to you. Totally not my thing. I will be on a domestic machine, you know, until I die. And so I knew that I needed space. I knew I needed a drop-in table. So I started with that. I started with the drop-in table. But what happened, and this is, let me try to paint a picture for everybody, because I don't think we're doing video. It's just audio, right?
Audio.
So paint a picture. You're sitting in front of your sewing machine. You want the sewing machine right in front of you. The bulk of the quilt is going to be, some of it is going to be in your lap. The bulk of it is going going to be to your left. So think if you're sitting at your sewing machine and you're, it's like an upside down L shape or maybe a backwards seven. Think of a backwards seven, like a mirror image seven. So the part of this, the number seven is in front of you. That's the table. But then you need a little bit of room to your left. So think of the top of the seven and then to your left. Maybe that's like a gamma. I'm trying to think of the shape, but, or it's like the left half of a rectangle, but you've got room in front of you and then you've got room off to your left. Well, there weren't any tables on the market at the time when I bought my first table that were configured like that. So you know what I would do? I would take a little TV tray or a little desk or a little like your ironing board. And I would complete that like long arm, you know, not a long arm, but like you would have a space next to you, forming that shape so that you'd have a place for the quilt to rest. And so I was doing that like hack job for years and years and years. And just before the pandemic, I said, you know what? I started making videos a couple years ago. And every time people would see my old table with my hack job, you know, table next to me, and I would put things around my table so that the quilt wouldn't fall off. People were always like, well, where'd you get your table? How do you get your setup? And I didn't have an answer for them. And I thought, you know what? I just need to partner with somebody. I need to find a table I can recommend, not for any glory, not for any money, just so when I make my darn videos, I could have a place to show people, oh, go and get this table. Well, you know what? I couldn't find one. I could not find one that was to my specifications. Mm-hmm. And what it was, there'd be all these amazing tables endorsed by all these celebrity spokespeople that were amazing quilters. But I realized most of them did not quilt their own quilts. So they didn't know what they needed because they would make the top. The table was beautiful for that. They'd send it off to a long armor, no problem, but they weren't quilting their own quilts. And so as somebody who quilts her own quilt, I knew exactly all the bells and whistles. I knew where you needed to rest your arm. I knew where you needed the bulk of the quilt to go. And I knew that you needed a place because your quilt is bigger than your table. And unless you are stuck in a corner with like, with, you know, something all around you, the quilt is going to fall off the table. Mm-hmm. So I needed a way for, as you're quilting this big quilt on your table, I needed a way for it not to fall off the back of the table. I needed a way for it not to fall off the sides of the table. So over a series of months, I got together with Arrow through a mutual friend that introduced us. And I said, and I literally took pictures and I drew diagrams on paper and I explained in words, you know, and I sent them and I said, can you do this? And they looked at it. They said, yes, we can take one of our stock bodies and we can modify it to your specifications. And I said, great. I go, tell you what, you do that. I'll be your friend for life. I will promote it. I will whatever I can just so that I could have a place for people to go. And they said, you know what? We'll do you one better. They said, number one, we'll name it after you because all of their tables have, you know, there's like the Gidget and the Laverne and Shirley, and they're all named after female names. Mm-hmm. So it was just perfect to have it be called Krista. The Krista, because that was already with their branding. And then, and then they set me up to be a dealer to sell the table, but you can get it from any dealer. And then the most exciting thing is the accessory called Krista's Quilt Blocks, which is basically bumpers that you can attach not only to the Krista cabinet, you can attach them to any other cabinet as long as it's less than an inch thick and it has like a lip. And Brilliant. So originally my idea was to build that into the table, build this little like ledge around the edges. I said, no, manufacturing, shipping, that's too difficult. That's because they're the experts with the engineering. They said, instead, let's take your idea, because it was my idea. And they said, let's make that a separate piece so that you can then attach it. So it's just think of a flat table, but then you have these little guardrails that you can add on. You just clamp them on and it's wonderful. And you can hear my enthusiasm because I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this took me 25 years to get this point. Why did no one think of this sooner? And honestly, the table has sold really well, but the bumpers have sold even beyond our wildest dreams because nobody has come up with that before. No, right. I could not believe that nobody had anything like that. And now you're starting to see ideas pop up, which that's fine, but anyway, if you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, Stephanie will put it in the show notes. You can see pictures, you can see videos in action. And okay, Okay. I always joke and I say, I hope any Bernina dealers aren't listening to me. I love Bernina, but I always tell people, if you have a limited budget and you're trying to decide on a machine or the table, get the table first, because that's going to be more important, and you can change out your machine. You can put any machine, you can get a custom insert, you buy the one table, then you buy your machine, and then it, as you upgrade your machine, you don't have to upgrade the table. So that's like, bump this up on your priority list for sure.
That's very good, because I've never heard anyone else say that in the industry. It's always about the machine, and you're so right.
It's about your workspace, because if your workspace is comfortable, you can literally use any machine. Now, of course, you want the bells and whistles. You want the nicest machine you can afford. But if you have a good workspace that works for you, it doesn't matter what machine you have, and you can always change out your machine because you're going to be comfortable. So like I said, Bernina people, love you guys, love the machines, but the table is most important.
Well, because, and they shouldn't be upset, because when you put your Bernina machine on that table and it's all flush, and you don't have to, like I'm still doing with the raised on top of the tabletop, ergonomically, it just helps your sewing experience improve
night and day
so much.
Well, that's why even back in the day, you know, back in the 30s when they had the little Singer featherweights and those kind of things, and when sewing machines were invented, they came attached to a cabinet. And then we got away with that with our consumer, you know, fast culture. We got away with the fact that, no, this, you know, this needs to be a table. I mean, fortunately, it's not attached. You can take it in and out. But they got away from the ergonomics that you need to have a nice area. And I know for people that are like, oh, but I don't have room in my home. I know how to sew in a small space. When we were first married, before we hadn't had kids for a period of time, we lived in a little teeny tiny travel trailer. So I know how to sew in a little tiny bit of space. So if you can find a little corner, you're set.
That's exciting. Very, very exciting. So yeah, congratulations. Those crystal blocks are amazing. And I might have even said this before, but you're right. It's like, why didn't I think of that?
Well, necessity is the mother of invention. You know, the first thing, when I need a tool in my toolbox, I go look for it. And when I find it with a company, then I partner with company. That's why I partner with Bernina and Orofil and just all the different companies that I partner with, Hobbs Batting, because they have the product that I need. Then if they don't have the product that I need, then I make phone calls and I send emails until I find somebody who's willing to take a gamble on me and partner with me to produce a product that's not already out there.
Yeah. And I like Arrow. The other thing too about your table is the price point is very good for what you're getting.
I have to
address
that.
There are systems that are similar or just even more than what you need for like twice to three times more than that.
Well, so. And that was the thing I did tell them. I said, I do not want this to be expensive. I do not want this to be more than the sewing machine. It has to be affordable. And so we looked at it and I told them, I said, I do not want it to be above this certain. If you guys can't do it, no big deal. You know, we don't have to do it. And they were able to meet my price point. And the main reason why is because it has all the essentials. It has the drop-in. You're able to raise it and lower it, but it doesn't have the extra bells and whistles. There's not a lot of storage. It's not electronic in any way. It's manual and it's simple and it works. And just taking out, honestly, like some machines, you know, if you have the budget, go for it. Some tables have like an electronic motor that adds $1,000 to the cost. And now if you have an extra $1,000, that's fine. I don't. So instead of having it motorized, you just have a little knob or a little, I don't even know what to call
lever.
It. A lever. It's a lever. You pull the lever up, you pull the lever down. Most people set it in place and leave it. And so it was things like that, that I had to make it affordable, because I knew that I couldn't afford it any other way. And I'm sure most of the other people out there. So I appreciate you noticing that, because that was definitely intentional.
Yeah.
Definitely intentional.
Good. Very good, because I definitely noticed it and I agree. And I really, when it first came out, I went to their website and I studied it and everything that came with it. And I was just like, this is brilliant. And you get everything you really need. And sometimes with that, I mean, I think with your, it looks nice too. It's not that it doesn't look nice.
Well, and it only comes in one color. It's white, it's clean, it's pretty, you know.
But the functionality of it was definitely, I think, well thought out and is key. And so I agree.
Thank you.
I think that people will definitely enjoy this piece and the crystal. I like that the crystal blocks were separate too, anyway.
Yeah. And it's fun. It's been a wonderful partnership. And I love the company. Again, I won't work with people that I don't get along. And if I get along with you, if we click, you're my buddy for life. And I will never say anything negative in public, but I won't work with you if I don't like you. So Stephanie, sure. I like you. Keep it coming.
Ooh, thank you. So let's move on to your teaching events because you're really going strong in 2024, it looks like, from your schedule.
Well, here's the thing that I learned with the pandemic. You know, it was a hard time. We're so glad that, you know, it's behind us and all that. Many quilters love the fact that you could do all this Zoom and you could, you know, access all this stuff. And I love that that's out there. I tried it. I don't like it. I'm so sorry because some people go, oh, will you do a Zoom lecture? I did it during the pandemic and I realized when I'm at home, I'm at home. When I'm traveling, I'm teaching and I have to completely separate them. And so for me, even though I work full time at home in my home studio, that's a completely different frame of mind. I'm in a different mindset. When I'm teaching, I'm in a different mindset. And so I had to separate the two. I tried online teaching, did not like it. That's different than like YouTube. That's different than Craftsy. I'm talking the 6 hour live Zoom, whatever, just not my thing. So after things started opening up, I went back and I pretty much said yes to everybody that invited me to be in person teaching. And here's the thing, not only is it my full-time job and I love it and it pays the bills, I love being with people and I cannot get the interaction that I need over the computer. I mean, you and I, we can have this fun chat, but I need to be in the room with people. I need to be in the room where it happens, if you want to call it that way, but I need to be walking around. I need to be giving people high fives. I need to sit down at their machine if they're having questions. And for teaching my techniques, I just can't do that over Zoom. And so realizing being in person, being with that person and having that interaction. And also a lot of people may not know this about me. I'm actually very hard of hearing. And so being online, things don't sound as good as they do when I'm in person. I can be face to face with that person. I can look them in the eye. And so that's kind of a long reason to say, I love in-person events. I love traveling. I love seeing the world. I love going to guilds and shops and quilt shows. And I teach the same techniques, but it's never the same quilt twice. And it's never the same class. It's never the same people. And it just fulfills me. And so even though I enjoy it as my job, I don't do it for free. I would almost do it for free because I just love it and it fulfills me. And I look at it as they say, quilting is therapy. I'm like, I can go and travel the country and I can get my therapy and I can get paid for it. I mean, this is a good deal. So yes, if I'm coming to an area near where your listener is going to be, I would love to meet them. I would love to teach them. And my goal in life is to just help people enjoy quilting. Enjoy it. It's fun. Don't stress about it. Because if you can enjoy what you're doing, you're going to loosen up. You're not going to be stressed. And your quilts are going to reflect the heart and soul that you put into them.
So true. Yeah. Well, that's good because, and I think there are people too who gravitate towards in-person taking classes as well. So there's, you know, of course we're in that video age and everything virtual and it's not going away, but also I think in-person has its own, you know, still place and value. And like you're saying, the one-on-one connections with people too.
And the interesting thing is because a lot of the people that do what I do, a lot of them have decided that they're opposite of me. They've decided that they would rather be at home. So then when people ask me about, you know, oh, do you do virtual? I'd like, no, but my friend so-and-so does and vice versa, because a lot of them aren't traveling, then I'm able to go. And so it kind of ebbs and flows. There's enough room for everyone. There's enough work for everyone. There's enough classes. And so we're able to do what we want. And then, like I said, I still do, like I have Craftsy classes, I have YouTube videos. I do have online content. It's just not the live interaction of the classes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've taken live before. I did the Quilt Folk one a couple years ago. And it's challenging. I know it is. And I know how hard they worked at it. And there were still technical issues. There's nothing worse than when you're live and, you know.
You're like, am I on? Is the mic working? No.
Yeah. Can't hear you.
But you know what? It all harkens back to my philosophy in the classroom and everything I do. My philosophy is do what works for you. There's no one right way to do it. And if you're happy, then that's the right way to do things.
True. Yes. Yeah, for sure. So great. This is wonderful. And I will put links, of course, to your website. And I think you even have like a section of it that shows where you're going to be.
Yeah. I'm going to go to some fun places. I'm going to be teaching at AQS Paducah Quilt Week from American Quilt Society. That's going to be in April. And I've had quilts in that show and I participated in that show, but I've never been there. So I'm going to be teaching machine quilting at that show. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be going to a guild in Alaska, which is going to be fun.
Oh,
and then I'm really excited for a big event that I'm doing with Stitch in Heaven, which is in Quitman, Texas.
Yes.
And it's so funny because they're in Quitman. And if you read it really quickly, you think it says Quiltman, which it should be, you know. But Stitch in Heaven, they're a really big shop, and they do a lot of cruises and things. And they recently opened up a retreat center. And so this year, they're just filling their retreat center almost every week with name brand quilters coming in. And what I'm doing is I think it's either 4 or 5 days. I think it might be 4 days of sewing plus a couple days of travel where we're actually going to make a quilt from start to finish. So we're going to come in. Everybody's going to have their pieces. It's going to be a very, very simple design. We're going to sew it. I'm going to go through all the steps. I'm going to teach them how to baste it. I'm going to teach them how to machine quilt it. I'm going to teach them how to bind it. And by the end of the retreat, they'll either have most of the quilt. The super speedy people will have the whole quilt done. They'll have the knowledge to go home and actually, you know, make a quilt from start to finish. And that's coming up in September at Stitch in Heaven, which I'm really looking forward to.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. I always love those classes where you can actually make something and complete it and bring it home. That way it doesn't sit in whip list or whip pile.
Because usually when I'm traveling, I teach like a 3-hour class or a 6-hour class. And so I just teach the basics. But being able to be with people for 4 or 5 days, we're going to be rooming together. We're going to be eating together. They're going to be sick of me by the end of the weekend. You know, it's a long weekend. I'm going to be able to be with them all day long, you know, 4 days in a row. And so that is going to be amazing.
Ooh, that is so cool. Yeah, nice. Alaska. I would totally go to Alaska to do anything.
I know. I when people ask me, I mean, I do, if I can accommodate them, I usually try to. But like this last year, 2023, I was able to go to Florida. I was able to take my family to go to Disney World. I mean, so I'm just putting it out there. If there's anybody out there in Hawaii that wants me to come, I will totally give you a good deal.
Ooh, awesome. Yeah. And if you want a podcaster to tag along with her.
Oh, there you go.
I'm there.
Perfect. Yep.
Oh, man. Yeah. Just those picturesque sites. That's very nice to be able to do that.
Yeah. But I'll go the middle of nowhere, too. As long as I can get there. You can fly me in, pick me up at the airport. Yeah. It's all good. You got a sewing machine, we'll travel.
That's great. Yeah. You are definitely the consummate traveler.
It's fun.
You know how to do it. And
And I'm really good at packing a 50-pound suitcase to the ounce.
Wow. That's a talent because I'm not. I'm always over. My husband would have that little, you know, that little.
I have those.
It hooks onto your suitcase and then you can see how heavy it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious. And I'm like, we need to get a lighter suitcase. That's taking up all my poundage.
Exactly.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Krista, thank you so much. It was so great to connect with you again and to find out about all these new and exciting things that you've been working on over the last few years since I've talked with you. Everything sounds wonderful. And everybody go get those dazzle dots because they're wonderful. And in her books and her notions and your sewing table. I mean, you have it's almost like a one-stop shop with you now. You can get your patterns.
I try to make it easy. Fabrics, and especially, since I'm focusing, because what I started doing, my goal for 2024 is I wanted to release more videos. So I am releasing a video every single week of the year. And I know that as I show what I'm doing, because the whole point is to help people have fun with it. As I show what I'm doing, people ask me, well, where did you get this tool? Where did you get that tool? And again, I want to be able to refer them so that they can have the same results as I do. And that has been a lot of fun. So the trick has been, okay, travel, but then have time at home so I can make videos, edit them, record them, and then post them so that I still have videos going up even the weeks when I'm out of town.
Oh, great. Yeah, wonderful. Okay, good. Well, good luck for everything. It looks like this is going to be a great year for you and everyone who's going to go see you in all of these great places, Paducah, Alaska, Texas, Stitch in Heaven. So, very exciting. Thanks again. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much.
Like you're not busy enough. So I really appreciate you actually taking this time to talk with me.
Anytime. You're my buddy.
Thanks. The music you just heard is by composer Frédéric Chopin, and it is one of his Nocturnes, Opus 9, Number 2. And the artist is Adrian Walter that played it. Krista and I touched on the topic of focus music. I mentioned I grew up playing classical piano, and Chopin is one of my favorite composers. His music is often in a minor key, and it makes it very moody and beautiful, wistful, and a bit dreamy. All right, let's chit chat. Last weekend, I had my two nieces aged 7 and 15 back over again for a sewing weekend. We enjoyed yummy food that I didn't have to spend precious time from sewing to prepare. And we completed just about everything we set to accomplish. So it was a very good weekend, and I got a lot done. I mentioned before that the first time they came for a sewing weekend, I had a challenging time going from one to the other, devoting equal time to each of them and their projects. The older one has been used to having one-on-one time with me over the years to learn sewing and quilting, and now she has to share time with her younger sister, and that doesn't always set too well with her. She's been really working on her mom to see if she can do a solo trip without the younger sister, so I'm not quite sure how that's going to work out. Except for the fact I told her that one project that really would warrant that a solo trip would be her quilt that she's been working on since she was like 6. It's almost done, actually, because she only works on it when she comes over to my house. They live in another state, and it is within driving distance, so that's pretty nice. It's about 3.5 hours away. One way. I said that that would be a weekend project once we get her top done, which it is almost done. The quilt top is just about done. Then we can take the time to square it and baste it with the batting and the backing, and then start learning how to machine quilt. So, We'll figure that out a little bit later, but it did a lot better this time. I was actually very proud of myself, and it just takes a little bit of, you know, they'd only been here together one other time, so it was brand new to all of us. But the younger one loves to craft and to sew. She can easily occupy downtime by making something of her own creation while she waits for the next lesson in her project. And I also could let her go ahead, and she loves to trace and cut, loves cutting fabrics and everything. So she was able to trace and cut out the pattern pieces to her project while we were working on the apron for the older one. And another thing that she did was I have a box of felt, so I pulled that out, and she made a small art quilt from felt pieces. I was amazed at her natural improvisational skills, because she pretty much made a little improv quilt out of felt. It's so cool. And unknowingly, like, you know, she has no clue what improv quilting is, but that's pretty much what she did. And she did a quilt, sort of a quilt as you go design, with a background sheet of white felt. Then she cut strips of different widths and other colors, stitched them on to the back backing, which is the white felt, overlapped them. And then she trimmed it out with pom-pom fringe and sewed a ribbon to the back. So now she'll be able to hang it from like a command hook in her room or on her bedroom door. So that was an unexpected project that she started and finished and was very proud of. Project that my older niece was working on. So we started it back in December and didn't finish it. So we were just on the last, you know, few steps of that, and got that finished. It is the, it's by Helen's Closet Patterns, and it is the apron expansion pack to the York Pinafore. So it's the York apron, I guess is what it's called. But you have to have the York Pinafore dress pattern, and then also the expansion pattern for the apron pieces to make this. It's pretty straightforward to make. There is no hemming because all of the raw edges are bound with bias tape. There's two sides that sew to the center front piece, two shoulder seams, and that's all there is to the construction. Then you sew the bias tape, could be pre-made or DIY made. And then you just follow that up with top stitching on these really cute large pockets onto the apron front. And it's done. I'm definitely making one for me. I want to make it, I want to make a York pinafore dress for a garden smock that I can, wear when I, like an apron, but it's the pinafore dress, and you can get it dirty and keep my clothes clean underneath it. I already have really cute cotton canvas fabric for it. I will, when I can get to that, I will let you know how that looks. The other project we made start to finish, and this was the younger one's project, is the So Sweetness desktop cube. I've made this cube many times. It is a four-sided square cube made from fabric that is supported by foam, and the lining is backed with woven stabilizer. It's very easy to sew. So my 7-year-old niece had no problem with sewing the exterior foam sides together to make that tube, and also the same thing with the interior lining sides together. The bottom pieces were a little bit more tricky, so I sewed those in for her. Really cute. I think the thing that takes the most time, and this is probably true for any type of sewing project, but it's the prep time. But once you get sewing it to it, it's like the sewing part is so fast, and all of a sudden you have a thing that you've made, and it's so cute, and it's useful for storage. She was very happy with it. So I let her pick out the fabric she wanted. And of course, she zeroes in on my Tula pink, what I would like to call my Tula, I don't know, vintage is not quite the word for it, but it is from one of her earlier collections that has been long gone. It's that really cool deer fabric. I think it's from the Acadia collection, but so cute. Oh, so I'm looking at it and she picked it and I'm like, OMG, you did not just pick that fabric. Yes, she did. She's looking at me like, what did I do? I said, no, you're fine. You're fine. Okay. All right. You might as well. It can't sit on the shelf forever. So we're going to make it. We're going to make this cube in the Tula fabric. Oh, man. I just had to get over my initial little shock about it. And then I thought, when you think about it, it's just like, what are you going to do? Hold on to it forever? And it just never gets made into anything and never gets to be enjoyed out in the wild? No. So, yeah. And, man, once we saw it in its finished glory, oh, that fabric is amazing. So that was, the other project. And then the last thing that we did was I started to teach them about mending. And I asked my sister to have them bring, a couple of pieces of their clothing that they would like to learn how to mend. And they both brought a pair of leggings that had holes on the knees. So perfect starting mending project, I think. They're knit too. So these were knit leggings. So I made it as simple as possible for them to start learning. And we just used some pearl cotton embroidery thread. We stabilized the hole by stitching a straight stitch around it first. And then they made patches from cute fabric scraps in my stash. I pulled out my new Tula pink EPP heart template. It was the perfect size for a little heart patch to go on their knees. And really, it was, when they were done with it, it was just so cute. And it really looked like a pair of more expensive leggings with the cute patches sewn on one knee. And then when I was showing the younger one how to bring the needle up. And the fabric she chose was a little bit thicker than a quilting cotton. And so it was too hard to do a running stitch with it. So she would have to go up and down each stitch. And then you also have to be careful that you are not stitching the back of the leg as well to the front of the leg and the patch. And I thought about, what about if we sort of put an embroidery hoop in there? There's got to be a small size. In fact, I've seen those mini ones that people make into ornaments and stuff. So I went ahead and ordered some that night. They were here for a few nights, and those came the next day, and they were perfect. It made it so much easier for them, and I highly recommend this. So you can get as small as the smallest one I saw was a 2.5-inch round embroidery hoop, and they come in packs of like, I don't know, 12 or something. But I got the 3-inch one, and I'm glad I did because I almost got the 2.5-inch one, but I think that would have been too small. The 3-inch was perfect. It fit very nicely inside the leg of their leggings, and it separates the top from the bottom and makes it so much more pleasant to sew. And they loved it. And I made up a little mending kit for them with, gave them several, the hoops for each one, some embroidery threads and snips and stuff, needles. So they're all set. I even tossed in some fabric scraps, stabilizers, and they are set. They can mend whatever they want. And we also had the conversation about, so now, if your brothers or whoever start seeing what you're doing and they're saying, oh, can you mend this? Can you do that? I told them, make sure that you charge for your time. You can give them the family discount, but teach them young so that they don't get taken advantage of by everybody saying, oh, you could just do this. You can do this for me. And then it becomes not fun for them anymore. So it was a little bit kind of a joke, but not really. I mean, yeah, you can charge your brother like $1, I would say. That's fair, right? You're going to put in all that work if he wants you to mend his pants with a patch or something. Or they can share the knowledge and teach someone else how to mend their own clothes, teaching them early on that their time, their skills, and their labors are valuable. They like that idea, too. Let's move on to knitting. I pulled out my knitting needles again, and I am going to knit some more of the Arne and Carlos Easter eggs. They released a new batch of patterns for 2024 Easter eggs, and some of them are Easter balls and Easter eggs this time, which is new. And I love when they do the animal motifs. This batch of ones has a bunny and a chicken, I think, a duck. They have a duck in the other ones too, because I've made a duck one from one of their earlier batches, but really nice designs. And again, I love these projects because they are small and easy to complete in a very quick amount of time. And they're so cute. They can be ornaments and decorative. You can put a bunch of them into a bowl as a centerpiece on the table. You can hang them from a little sort of like a tree or a branch that you bring in that looks like a tree in a decorative planter. So they're very pretty. And I've been collecting their yarns for a while now. And I finally think I have gotten all of their colors from the Rowan collection. It's Norwegian wool, and that's the one that Arne and Carlos designs with Rowan. Their colors are very good. I like their colors. The thing is that this Norwegian wool isn't that old. I think it's only been out for maybe 2 years now, and it sells out so quickly, especially when they post new patterns. for like the Christmas balls or the Easter eggs. So this time I was ready for it. And as soon as I saw their email, I'm on their email list. I got the email for the Easter eggs and I went on the search and ordered from two different places because of course they don't, you know, one place doesn't have inventory of all the colors. And I got the colors that I wanted. So I will be knitting those for a little bit. You know, Easter's early this year. It's in March. I really don't like it when it's in March because my birthday is in March. And so my birthday is now 1 week before Easter. Yeah, I don't like it when it's in March. But that's neither here nor there. Oh, and while I'm thinking about it, I did get a pair of Krista's quilt batting shears. She was so kind to send me a pair, and I am going to do a review on those in the next episode. And that will bring us to the end of this episode. I really hope you enjoyed Krista coming onto the show. I know I really did, and she is always so very open to sharing her knowledge. And it's always exciting to see all of the new things that she is working on and designing her fabrics. All right. And one last thing, I want to say thank you to the person who did a review for the podcast on Apple Tunes, on Apple Podcasts. I really appreciate it. And thank you very much. It's good to hear the good things that the podcast is doing for you and helping out your long commute. So thank you for listening and thank you for writing that beautiful review. And really, thank you to everyone who listens to the Make and Decorate with Stephanie podcast. I am always still amazed when I see the stats and see how there are listeners all over the world in Canada and the UK, Ireland, Sweden. I mean, it's just overwhelming sometimes to know that someone all the way across the world is listening. It's so yeah, thank you so much, and I hope that everyone continues to be creative and take some time to make something for you. If you love the Make and Decorate with Stephanie podcast, check out my Patreon page at patreon.com/makeanddecorate. You'll get a bonus episode every month, even during the months that the show is on hiatus. Thanks for listening, and I will chat with you next time. Bye-bye.